He said, "I want everybody to have a good time," he said.
Introduction. This is Barry Tyker of the UW History Project. It's June 19th, 1990. I'm in Ms. Catherine Parkinson's apartment at 2020 University
What did I
Avenue
do
with
with my
Judy
paper?
Johnson,
Uh-huh.
and we're
Thank you, sir.
conducting a second interview with Ms. Parkinson.
Don't put.
Last time, we're running now. Last time you talked about what Langdon Street was like back when you were
Oh.
growing up and done.
Well,
And
it was a beautiful street with the trees all arched all the way down. Langdon Street was just beautiful. There were lovely houses on both, well, on one side of the house, there were beautiful estates. And one by one, they've gone. Nice stone houses, you know, brick houses, big houses. And on the other side were new frame houses and apartments. But the trees were, it really was a beautiful street. It really was. The whole street from the university up to the Wisconsin Avenue. And up in that next block, there were some lovely homes. And one by one, they've either been taken over by a fraternity, and of course, they aren't kept up as well as they used to be. And some of them have gotten. So, well, they look pretty good now, but nothing like, you know, they used to look. But there are a few of them left. Some of them have been torn down and new houses put up in that place. So it all looks different. And the trees are, well, there's no trees up here at all. They have died, and we have trees, but they aren't arched the way they used to be.
What was the campus like?
And the campus, well, from Langdon Street, you went right down to the gym, Red Gym. And let's see, Red Gym. And then the next door, next to the Red Gym, was the YMCA building, which has been torn down because they tore that down. And the houses along there was. The president's home was on the corner there of Park Street in Langdon. That, of course, is gone. And the house next to that was Mr. Olin's house. He was a well-known lawyer here in town and a very successful lawyer. And Mrs. Olin planned the Kappa House on Park Street and gave a lot of money to it and ran the house for the first 5 years and put it on a very good basis. It all was paid and it was never in arrears. That was Mrs. Olin, who was a former capital. And next door to the Olin house was the Raymer house, a lovely red stone house, and he was a lawyer here in town. Those three houses were torn down, and that new building, which is what's the building there? I can't think of the.
The Union?
Union.
Yeah.
Took all that land in there. And then there was one more, Burge. Professor Burge had the house nearest to the gym. And that was torn down. But that was just an ordinary house, frame house. But the other houses were very nice houses. So all that land on that side there, on the. That side of the gym has been taken over by the by this building, this Memorial Union. Yeah.
What was the hill like?
And the historical library, let me see, some of that was there, but not all of it. I think they added a wing. The wing towards the lake, lakeside, I think. But I think that some of it was upbuilt. And let's see, and on the other side there was not the bursar's office, but the right across from the gym, on the corner there, was the historical library, and then there was the land that they got there now. There was nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
That was just open ground, like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And Then there was a frame house, and there was a athletic business office next door, and my brother-in-law was in there. He was head of the athletic part of it. And on the corner, it was just a frame house. I don't know what it was. Maybe I guess it was in a, they turned it into an office building. There was nothing there, but they just used it as an office building. And then across the street on the corner, it was an apartment building. And then the houses all the way up Langdon Street. Did you want to know about the, on the hill?
On the hill, yeah.
Well, music hall was there, Lathrop Hall was there. Gymnasium was there, Lathrop Hall was there. Music hall was there, North and South Hall and Main Hall.
Do you remember the fire on Main Hall? I think that was in 1914, wasn't it? When the
a big fire, wasn't
on the dome, yeah, when the dome burned down on Main Hall.
Isn't that funny? I've forgotten that. I remember something, but I don't remember it. It's hazy. Was that in 14, huh?
I think it was 1914.
1916.
16. I'm wrong.
Well, I guess I forgot that. And then beyond that, there was, let me see. Oh, of course, beyond it, it's all different now. Observatory was there. And I think some of the Ag School, I don't know. I can't, seems like the main building of the Ag School was there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some of the buildings in the Ag School, I can't remember, but the Ag School was still, that was there, I know, some of it. Of course, now it's so, there's so many buildings,
mm-hmm.
I don't know which ones. But that was about all I can remember.
What about the Dean of Agriculture's house? Was that there?
Comstock?
Yeah.
Yes, that was there.
Yeah.
And Comstock was head of the observatory, and his house was up there. And I don't know whether it's still up there now.
Yeah, I think it is.
Mrs. Comstock, I knew her. And then Mrs. Mendenhall lived there. Dr. Mendenhall was in the medical school, and he lived in that house later. And a terrible accident thing happened there. She had two children, two boys, and Mrs. Mendenhall was a doctor, and she did it as well. She did a little practicing, not much, but she did lot of things for the Attic Angels here in town. Mm-hmm. And they had just gotten started. They were only about 2 years old, just about as old as I am. Well, I'm about as old as they are. and I used to help down there. They had a baby center. And Mrs. Mendenhall was a doctor. And while she was down there one day, one of her little boys fell out the window and was killed.
Oh my.
Upstairs, pushed against the screen. He was about 4 years old. Oh, that was terrible. And he just accidentally went down and was killed. Well, I shouldn't have told that. But
well, was it usual to have a women doctors back then?
They weren't. She was the only one I knew.
Okay. And what did she run? She ran a little, kind of like a hospital or something?
She wasn't connected with anything. I think she just did it for the Attic Angels. She was down there, I don't know whether every day or once a week. They had a baby clinic. And the Italians and all, there were a lot of foreigners down there in the south side of Madison. And they'd bring their babies in there to be weighed and looked at. And she was a doctor. And I used to help down there and help her weigh the babies. And I did that for a year or so. I was an Attic Angel, and I'm 98, and the Attic Angels are just celebrated their, I think they celebrated their 100th birthday. I think they were 2 years old.
What kind of ethnic groups did you have in Madison?
A lot of Italians. At least when I was young, we had an awful lot of them down in that district.
Greenbush.
Greenbush. So Italian. Italian school, Italian church. And it seemed like all the people were always helping the Italians. I can't think of any where we had other people, but it seems to me that was, they were more dominant than anything else.
There were more of them, yeah. Maybe I've heard a lot about Greenbush.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I can't think. Maybe there were some other people down there, Spanish, but it certainly was Italian. They couldn't have a church and school and everything else down there.
Did they speak Italian? I mean, was that the language they spoke in Madison? Or?
Well, some, they spoke broken English. Mm-hmm. Most of them did Italian, but they knew some English.
And it was a free baby clinic.
Free baby clinic, and they came, and Mrs. Mendenhall was wonderful. They thought she was just great. And she was very nice to them, very helpful, because they couldn't afford to pay anything. Well, the university has changed a great deal, I can tell you. But Langdon Street was one of the prettiest streets in Madison when I was young. Mm-hmm.
What about Lathrop Hall? What can you tell me about Lathrop Hall?
Well, I don't know. It took several years to build, seems to me. It was a long time being built, and they needed it very much because we didn't have a gymnasium, large gymnasium for the girls when I was in school. And I think it was just built or was being built when I was in school. Because all we had was ladies' hall, you know. They didn't have any gymnasium for the girls. And that was, they had a lovely, great, big gymnasium. And they used to have dances there on Saturday night. That was a very popular place for dancing, you know. And we used to have, oh, we had a lot of places like that, you know, second floor. There was two places that I can think of. One on not on Langdon, but on Gilman Street. It was, what is it? It's still standing. It isn't a church, but it was built for a clubhouse, for some club. And they let them have dances on Friday and Saturday night. So they had that, and they had Lathrop Hall, and they had several other places. They were great on the dancing. Mm-hmm. They danced more than they do now, a great deal more. Now they drink more.
that's for sure.
They got a lot more.
What about, do you remember the first dean of women, Miss Matthews?
Oh, Matthews, yes, I liked her.
Tell me about her.
Well, she was very, she's a large woman and very positive and but very, very nice, I thought. But she was strict. Some people liked her, some didn't. But I think the majority of people liked her. And I always thought she was fine. I can't tell you anything.
What was her job? What did the dean of women do?
Well, to see that the girls didn't drink and came home on time. We had to be in by 1 o'clock, or the sorority would get after you, or the dean of women, or somebody. The doors were locked.
So she was in many instances a disciplinarian as well as
yes.
Was she a counselor as well? Could you turn to her?
Yes, I think so. I think the girls would go to her if they had problems. She was a very fine woman, I thought.
Did you know Scott Goodnight, were you around?
Yeah. I didn't know him, but I knew about him. He lived in a little house on State Street. Well, you know where the what's the house on the corner there? dear. Can't think of it. Well, my grandfather was in the first block, and he was in the next block, a little small white frame house, real old fashioned, and he lived there. And I don't know what to say about him, but I think I don't think the students were afraid of him at all.
Do the students like him or dislike him, or don't you really?
Oh, I think they liked him. I don't think they're very strongly against him.
In terms of instilling more respect, go ahead.
Yeah. I can't tell you anything about him. Okay.
You never had any personal contact with him or anything.
But I think he was pretty well liked. He seemed like a nice man. And I think if you didn't like him, you would have heard a little more about him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he got along pretty well with the students.
What about Dean Narden? Was she around when you were?
Yeah. Oh, she was old maidish. She was quite different from Mrs. Matthews. Mrs. Matthews was not old maidish at all. But the other one was. I never cared for her.
From what I've read of Mrs. Matthews, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth or anything, but I kind of think of her as sort of like a modern woman of the times.
Yes, I would too.
Not as this kind of stereotypical dean of students.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely right. Very nice. But Narden, she was stiff and old-fashioned. Oh, and she tried to put two rules that never would work at all.
Do you remember any of the
rules? No. I can't remember any of them, but I know they just laughed.
Now, I remember hearing once that she said that girls shouldn't drink from drinking fountains because it makes their lips red and it incites, you know, men.
Men?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that sounds like she might say something like that. Oh, dear. Well, she was really old-fashioned, just an old maid. Typical old maid that never grew up. No, I never liked her.
What did the students generally think, do you know?
Huh?
What did the students generally think of her?
Oh, I think they thought she was kind of crazy, old-fashioned. They didn't pay any attention to her. She wasn't the right type. Mrs. Matthews was, though. She was a terribly different type.
Do you happen to know why Mrs. Matthews left?
No.
Okay. I was wondering if it was just because she got married. She married a Supreme Court justice, I believe. Rosenberger?
Yeah, Rosenberg, I guess.
Rosenberg, yeah.
No, I don't know.
Okay. I always thought that was really unfortunate.
But she was attractive. I can see how men would like her because she was nice looking, she dressed nice, and she certainly could talk.
You were telling me, I think, on the phone, maybe I'm mixing you up with someone else, but when we first talked about the dome on the Capitol.
Yeah.
The dome on the Capitol? Were you there? Was there anything involving you and the dome on the Capitol? Okay, I'm just wrong. I got my people wrong.
Well, I went to prom there. They had one prom. They had one prom after it was built. And I went to, and I had a terrible time. Didn't like it at all.
Well, that isn't what I was talking about, but tell me about it. Tell me about it.
I didn't like the man I went with. Well, I had been to I've been to all the proms in college. And I had a wonderful time at every one of them. And my grandfather was always there, as I told you. He was always in the receiving line with the president. And I told you about how I almost led prom one year, my junior year. The man that I went with ran for prom chairman, and he lost it by 4 votes to a football man. So I was second in line that time. Well, anyway, this was after I'd finished school. I was at home here, and I was doing something, but I don't know, it was not very much, but something. And I got this phone call from Oshkosh, from this man. I never had met him, but I knew his sister-in-law. His sister-in-law was my best friend, capital friend, in college, and I used to stay overnight with her lots of Saturday nights after parties. I didn't want to go home. And she'd say, well, come over to the cabin house and you can sleep with me. And this was her brother-in-law, and he never married. He was a very well-to-do man and good-looking and had a beautiful estate. What is the water up there? What is it, Lake Michigan?
Lake Michigan?
On the shores of Lake Michigan.
Mm.
And he never married, but he was crazy about women. Women didn't like him very well. I don't know. I can imagine now after my experience with him. And he phoned me and he said, I know you don't know me, but you're a very friend, good friend of my sister-in-law, Mrs. Bray, Mrs. Charles Bray. And I said, yes. He said, I wonder if by chance you would like to go to prom at the Capitol. They're having a prom at the Capitol this year. And I kind of thought maybe as long as I was down here, you know, and at the Capitol working, that you'd like to go. And I, like a big fool, said, all right, I'd like to go. I was anxious to see the Capitol and see what it was like. I didn't know him at all. So, oh, he sent me flowers before and everything, and he did try to do everything upright. And I went, and he wasn't a very good dancer, but then we had a lot of rooms, so it didn't make much difference. And we had danced for a while, and all of a sudden, I've forgotten how long. It wasn't very long, probably an hour or 2 hours, maybe, after we'd been dancing. And he said, would you mind if I went up to my office? Would you mind going up with me to my office, he says. And I said, I have some reports that I have to sign. And I thought, well, gee, that's funny. And I said, well, I can wait down here. Oh, no, you come up with me. And I don't want you waiting down here. He said, it'll only take a little while, a few minutes. So I went up there, and I tell you, did I ever get scared? Up, I don't know how many floors up. Nobody around, not a soul in the corridors or anybody, absolutely nobody around there. And he opened the door and locked it.
Oh my.
Well, I came in and I was panicky, just panicky. And then he started. And I thought, well, now this, what a darn fool I am to be up here. I was just scared stiff. And he began talking to me and saying things that I didn't like. And well, I had a terrible time.
Sounds that way.
And I said, now you sign those papers and I want to get out of here just right away. I'm not going to stay. I wouldn't talk to him or anything. And I kept pushing him away. And then, it was terrible, really. I just suffered because I felt so helpless,
mm-hmm.
absolutely helpless. Locked in a room, I don't know how many floors up, nobody around, there's nothing I could do. And so I guess he got the message finally. Mm-hmm. And he did, I don't know how many, I don't know whether it was a put up job or what it was, but anyway, if he treats everybody like he treated me, I can see why nobody would want to marry him with all his beautiful home and servants and money and everything else. Well, anyway, so that just ruined it. I came downstairs and I didn't enjoy it at all because he'd gotten me so nervous and everything that I didn't like it. But it was a pretty party, but I didn't like it as well as the old Jim. Jim was transformed, you know, green and white. They decorated that all with white bunting. You couldn't see a beam. All the beams in the ceiling and everything was covered with this white Bunting and the Green Smilex. They imported all the Smilex from the South, and they had this green and white all over the ceiling and the sides. And it was beautiful, just beautiful. And the floor was so nice and slippery and everything. And of course, up there we danced on that marble, you know. But they only had it 1 year, that's all. So I don't think anybody else liked it as well as the old gym. But that was why I didn't like it.
Well, I think that's a pretty good reason. I'll buy that.
To be locked up in a three, four stories up with nobody around. Oh, dear. I'll never forget.
Did you report that to anyone? Or?
I didn't. Just to my mother. She said, well, I hope you'll never see him again. He never called again, I'll tell you. And I never told his sister-in-law. Nina was my best friend. She said, you didn't like Bill, did you? And I said, no, I didn't. But I never told her.
Well, she'd have probably killed him. She'd have probably killed him.
Oh, she would have. Because I visited her up there, you know, and had such a good time with her and her friends, you know. And she'll be sorry that she ever told him that I was alive. He didn't know me at all. Nina must have told. He probably asked her if she knew anybody would like to go to prom. And she'd say, well, sure. She said, I have a probably. I don't know whether she did it or not, but she must have because he didn't know me.
Yeah,
he'd never taken me out in Madison, and he'd been there for a year or two. Well, anyway.
You talked a little bit about Miss Matthews. Did you ever know Liz Waters?
I didn't know her.
No. You didn't know her? Okay. Did you know anything about her? Okay.
No.
She was a regent, very prominent regent.
Yeah, I know.
I
don't know a thing about her.
Did you, you had mentioned Burge before.
Yeah.
Did you know
I knew Ann Burge, his daughter.
Tell me about Ann.
Well, Ann... And was at the Angel Nursing Home. She just died, I think, a few years ago. Oh yeah, she must have died. But she was there for many years. Mm-hmm. She was an only daughter of Burge. Burge was a good friend of my grandfather's, because I used to hear him talk about Burge. I don't know, it was Dean Burge.
Dean
I guess.
Burge.
Dean Burge. And they had Ted Burge as a son, and then they had Ann. And I guess Ted died, I don't know when. But Ann lived until just, well, I'd say she was in the Attic Angel Home, I think, just 2 years ago. I think she must have been pretty near 100 years old, because she was older than I am, pretty older.
Now, did you know Mrs. Burge,
no.
Dean Burge's wife?
Uh-uh.
Did she die early?
Yeah, she died quite a while ago. And Ann ran the house for her father.
Yeah, I'd heard that.
And she was a very nice person. And I know that my grandmother and grandfather liked the Burges, because I used to. And then Dean Burge's secretary lived at my grandmother's grandfather's house and boarded there.
Hmm.
She really lived right in the house there and boarded there.
Did you know Max Otto at all?
I didn't know. I never took psychology under him. But he was very popular.
Yeah.
Students liked him very much.
He used to draw, didn't he, while he was lecturing?
Yeah.
He drew.
And Carl Russell Fisher was his American history professor that was very well liked. Always wore a red vest when he spoke. And, you know, he'd open up his coat so everybody could see this red vest.
Did he wear red because were those Wisconsin colors back then?
No, he'd do it because they gave him a skyrocket. He liked skyrockets, and he'd open it up. The minute he'd open up his showish vest, and then he'd get a skyrocket.
Let me ask you another question. This is getting kind of this is a kind of a funny question to ask, but was Bucky Badger the mascot when you were going to school?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What? How did they? Did they have a real badger, or how? What, how was it portrayed? Do you remember?
I can't remember. I don't know whether they had a real one. I
know they had a real one for a while, but I don't know.
I couldn't tell you. I don't.
Okay, that's. I was just. I'm fishing here. I haven't ever.
Yeah. No. I
talked to anyone from that year, that period before, and I thought
they might have had one, but I used to go to the football games too. But
tell me about the football games. What were those like?
Oh, they were good. Good rousing football games, and we had some pretty good teams too. And the women went as well as the. I think it was very popular with the students because they had very good attendance. And I think they had better teams then than they have now.
I hope so, for your sake.
I know they had better basketball teams years ago than they have now. My brother-in-law was on the championship basketball team for, I think, in the 4 years that he was in school. George was a forward, and he'd been playing basketball all through high school, and he was a star in high school. And then he came to college, and Mimo he put him at forward, and he was wonderful all 4 years, and they won the championship. I can remember some of the boys. They said it was Ole Olson and my brother-in-law and George Levis. And then there was Carl Harper. He was on the team. Oh, I used to know pretty near all of them. I've forgotten now. And I don't think they've ever had had a championship team here for years.
No, not since 1941. I think that was the last one.
Oh, well.
For
George,
basketball.
George was, see, I graduated in 14, and then, 10 to 14, and then George came 14 to 18, and then my other sister came from 18 to 22. So George, it'd be from 14 to 18 is when he was in school, so that would be when they had the basketball.
Where did they play basketball games?
Where? Gym, I guess.
Was that in the Red Gym?
Sure.
Yeah. What about football?
Huh?
What about football? Where did they play football?
Camp Randall.
Camp Randall.
Mm-hmm. It's the only one I know.
Okay. I thought, I don't know. Were there any other spectator sports that you went to that were popular in those days? Or were those basically the
main? I went to basketball and football. I never... Well, they played tennis, and they had hockey and tennis. I didn't see any of those things. I don't know whether they had boxing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think they had those, but they weren't important.
Okay. They
had ice skating. We had a skating rink back at the gym on the lake, and they had a tent canvas all around, and some. At night, sometimes they'd have music, and we'd skate to music. That was kind of fun. We had to pay to get in. And ice boating, and after every prom, prom weekends were very big and important. The boys in the fraternities invited their best girls to come and spend the weekend. They got out and turned the house over to the girls from Friday until Sunday. And so I went to a different fraternity house every year. And one year, I think it was my first year, I was at the Alpha Delta house. And Saturday, this boy said, how would you like to go in a cutter, and it was snowy. We had a lot of snow and ice, and he said, we'll drive it to Middleton and have our lunch or dinner in Middleton. So I said, all right, that'd be fun. And we got Scudder, his horse got kind of frisky. The rain, you know, got under his tail. Mm-hmm. And he didn't like it. And he tipped us over. He tipped us over in a snowbank. Both of us tipped the Cutter right over. And I was cut and I was all bleeding and everything. And my man was with me. He thought he would kill me. Oh, it was terrible. And we couldn't do anything. The horse went on to Middleton. We never got to Middleton, no. We sat in the snow there and until somebody would go by. We couldn't get to Madison. We couldn't get anywhere. We were in a snowdrift, and I was bleeding. Finally, somebody came along. Said, you want help? And my boyfriend said, yes, we want to be taken to Madison. Said, she's cut, and we'd like to go if we could, right away. He said, all right. So he took us to Middleton, and the horse was in Middleton someplace. Oh, boy, when I came in and my mother looked at me, she said, for heaven's sakes, what have you done? And he thought he'd kill me. She said, oh, we got tipped over, the horse tipped over the sleigh. And I don't know what I got cut on, but oh, I was all blood all over. She was scared too. But it all worked out all right. It wasn't anything deep, but it did bleed a lot. Oh, he was so scared, and he felt so terrible about it. The next morning, I got American Beauty roses. Oh, dear. So that was one experience I had.
When I looked through the old Badgers, and maybe I've got my dates wrong, but did you have May Day celebrations?
What?
Maypole celebrations? Were you involved in any of those?
I think they did, but I never went to them.
Uh-huh.
They had them on the upper campus, mm-hmm. You know. Yeah, because I remember something. I think the people from Lisa Paul, some of the gym teachers ran it or something. And yes, they had something, but I don't remember about it.
Okay. What about the dance, Margaret Dobler and the whole dance department?
Oh, yes, she was popular, very popular.
They used to put performances on top of the hill, too, I believe.
Do what?
They had dance performances at the top of the hill. Did you see any of those? They used to go out at dawn and kind of these...
Yes, they did it, but I didn't see any of them.
I didn't see any.
I don't remember any of them. My sister took dancing under Miss Dover. I never took dancing under her. I knew how to dance, and I didn't think I wanted it. But she did aesthetic dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they had a lot of girls that were pretty good dancers, aesthetic dancers, and she taught that.
Mm-hmm. And she had a pretty good reputation on campus?
Yeah, she had a pretty good. Yeah, Marge Dover. She was very nice to the girls, got along fine.
Did you have any involvement with the Women's Self-Government Association?
No. I'm afraid I didn't do very much. No, I didn't.
Okay, just wondering. Were you around the campus in World War I, during the World War I years?
What year was that?
Oh, you know, the 1916, 1917, 1918, that period.
Well, I was home.
Do you remember the soldiers on campus at all?
Yes, I remember when they marched up Langdon Street. And, you know, it was thrilling to see them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes they had some music, and they marched up. I don't know, I think they went up to the head of Langdon Street and then down University Wisconsin Avenue to the Capitol. I don't know what the, where they went from there, but they used to always come up Langdon Street. And, oh, it was exciting, you know, to see them. Yes, I remember that much. But I don't know where they went, where they, except that they went by our house right up the whole street.
What about the influenza outbreak?
Huh?
The influenza outbreak in World War I, do you remember that at all? I guess a lot of people died in Madison.
I don't remember that.
Okay. What about President Van Hise? What can you tell me about him?
Well, he was president when my grandfather was vice president. And I knew the whole family. I know Hilda and Janet. There were three girls. Janet was the oldest, and Hilda was my age. And then there was a young one. And they were Kappas. And Mrs. Van Hise was a very nice woman, very motherly and very nice. And I was sent over to their house before initiation. We were a day or two before initiation. They sent every girl that was initiated to some house and told them they were going to be there for a couple of days and before initiation. We never knew where we were going. And so we had to bring our clothes over there and our books and everything. And I was sent over to Van Hise's house and put up on the third floor, all alone on the third floor, with all my books and my clothes, thinking I was going to stay 2-3 days, and I only stayed one night. But they made you think you're going to have to stay there for a while, you know. And then Mrs. Van Hise came up to me, came up several times and brought me coffee and cocoa and cookies. And she felt sorry for me because I was up there all alone. And of course, they didn't want anybody to see me or do any, be good to me or anything. But she didn't care. She came up and talked to me. And I was so relieved because I wasn't going to study every minute. They wanted me to study. I had to bring all my books over there and everything. And she was up there talking to me and bringing me food. And then I was surprised the next day. They told me that they would be over to get me. And they blindfolded me and brought me back to the Kappa house. And I was initiated that night. So instead of staying a whole weekend, I stayed one night. But it made you think you were going to be there. So I knew the Van Hises real well. So I was glad they sent me there because I knew Mrs. Van Hise and everything.
Did you... Do you remember when President Van Hise died? Do you remember how the campus received that news?
I don't remember.
Getting back to your sorority for a minute, that was your initiation, going over to the Van Hise's house.
Yeah.
What kind of initiations did you give other people, you know, when you were upperclassmen and they were freshmen? What kind of hazing did they have?
I don't remember sending anybody over. Well, they had one night before, you know. They had stunt night when they made them sing and dance and give a speech and things like that.
How did a person become a Kappa?
Well, you had to be recommended and have a good recommendation. And some people were recommended highly by several people. And you had to be a good student. They didn't want somebody that's going to come and flunk out. You had to have good grades because you had to make a certain mark. And then we had daughters and nieces and people that we were supposed to take. And you didn't have to take them, but if you liked them, you took them. And if they were good students and, you know, well liked, why they got in, well recommended.
Did you vote on them as a unit, as a group?
Oh, yes, I had to vote.
Did everybody have to approve each person?
Everyone had to approve.
Was it usual to approve most people?
Oh, yes, usually. If the majority did, why? sometimes they'd have to see the girl a little more, you know, if they weren't sure, and have her come over again. But we didn't have too much trouble. Once in a while, we'd have a fight about some girl. There'd be some that would be crazy about her, and others that didn't like her at all, you know. Then we'd have a kind of a bad time getting a girl like that through. But usually we didn't have any trouble when the majority liked her and her qualifications were all right. So, but they had to be a good student and a decent person. They didn't want some roughneck or somebody that we'd be ashamed of.
No. What about fraternities? Did you have any? Did your sorority have any special relationship with any fraternity?
Yeah, we not any, any one. It seems like we went. They had a lot of girls that had, like, brothers that were Alpha Delts or Phi Delts or Chi Psi or something, and then we'd go over there, you know. Usually we'd be quite friendly with them because the sisters and brothers would, you know, introduce us to so many of them. But I don't think we ever had just one fraternity.
Did they have Jewish fraternities back in those days?
I know they have them now, but I can't remember whether, it seems like they had one, but they weren't very popular. Mm-hmm. They didn't want them.
Why didn't they want them?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. There was. I don't know why. I just didn't like them, I guess. There was somebody on. There was a Jewish one on Langdon Street, but I can't think what it was. But none of the, nobody knew any of the boys well because they never. I don't know whether they cut up more or what. I don't know what it was.
Did you read the Daily Cardinal?
Oh, only occasionally. I didn't take it. But when I went over the house at noon, I used to go over there and have lunch. I'd pick up the Cardinal if I'd see it around there and read it. But otherwise, I didn't read it too much.
What did you think of it? Do you remember? Did you like it or dislike it? Or?
Oh, I liked it, all right. Yeah, I think it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. What about the Badger yearbook? Was that a pretty big deal when the yearbook came out? Did most people get it?
Yeah, I had it. I had it, too. And I wish I had it now. When I sold, after my parents died and I sold the house, I had to get rid of all of my furniture, except for what I got now. But I had Badger every year. I just threw that out. Oh, it makes me sick when I think of all the things that I threw out with books and stuff, you know. And I had a, what do you call it, like this. I'm keeping things in.
No, photo album. Yeah, scrapbook.
Scrapbook. I had a big scrapbook of the 4 years. Everything in it. All the proms and parties and everything. And pictures of all my boyfriends and everything. Threw that out. Mm. I would give anything for that because I didn't leave out anything. Every little program, every little thing that I went to, or did, and that was just bulging, and I threw that out. And that would have been so interesting now, you know, when people ask me about everything, would have brought everything back, but I didn't know what to do with all that stuff. So I really threw out much too much.
Did UW have a band back then? A band?
We had a wonderful band.
Tell tell me about it. Who was the director? Do you remember?
I don't know.
Okay. Can you remember anything about the band?
Except that they were, I always thought they were very good. They played a lot of, well, we had bands, military balls. We had, I don't know whether they were the people from the band, I don't know who the people played, whether they were from the band or what, but we had military balls and the music was very good. I don't know who those musicians were. Maybe they were the students.
I think they were the students, yeah.
I think they were. And we don't. I don't think they have military balls anymore, do they?
No, I don't think so.
Well, we had them. We had prom and we had military balls. And what else did we have? And they all wore their uniform, you know, at the military balls, and they were formal parties. And they were really very, very nice. They held it at the gym. All the dances were held at the gym.
You talked last time, you didn't. You just mentioned it, the Pipe of Peace ceremony. Remember?
I don't.
Okay.
When was that?
The last time we talked, you mentioned it during the course of the interview, and I wanted to get back to it and ask you what it meant, but I didn't have a chance to.
I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Up on the campus?
It must have been, yeah. Exactly what context
I don't know what the Pipe of Peace would be. Well, I don't know.
Tell me about graduation.
Well, my grandfather was on the stage with the president, Mr. Van Hise, when I crossed the stage. And I was the only one from the music school, and I got a skyrocket from all the boys. And I could hardly walk. I was so embarrassed. And my grandfather was smiling at me. Oh, dear. I had to walk on the whole long stage all alone, cap and gown on.
Well, they went up by schools. And you were the only one to go, oh, my goodness.
It was terrible. Because before me, there'd been dozens and dozens, you know, go up together. And here there's one person. I took the two courses, the Hill course and the music course. And there was nobody else taking two courses like I was. They had quite a few that graduated from the public school music teacher course. I took that. And then I took a Hill course, and I had to come back the next year, the fifth year, and finish it, because I couldn't get it all in.
What's a Hill course?
Well, it's a regular course.
Oh, okay.
But I had physics and English language and psychology. I don't know what, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And but I couldn't get it in because I took piano lessons and I took singing lessons. Oh God, I don't know. And then dancing every night, not every night, but every weekend. My mother said, "Well, I think you better stay home this weekend and rest your legs." Oh, I danced my legs off. Everybody was dancing. But I was very, very tired when I graduated. I didn't do anything the first year after I graduated. I was so tired out.
When you say you were dancing, what kind of dances were popular back then?
Oh, just two-step and waltz.
Any particular bands or anything?
They songs? They always had out-of-town bands, out-of-town orchestras for all the formals. We had them from Chicago, New York, and all around. Some noted orchestra would come, you know, or band would come for prom and military balls. But they always hired somebody from out of town for all the formals, usually, or the big parties, I mean. not the student, not the fraternity parties. The Thompson's Orchestra was the man that had all the orchestras for the fraternity parties. He was well popular, this town. And he had all these musicians that he had charge of, and he'd send them three or four out to each place, you know, pianists and violinists and the drum, and usually three or four pieces.
What were some of the tunes, some of the songs that were popular? You remember? Any in particular?
Oh my, I can't remember. I can't remember.
Okay.
Remember, there were so many of them. It's funny, I can't think of them.
Oh, tonight you'll think of a dozen of them, I'm sure.
Well, I was going to tell you that I remember my grandfather telling me, we were talking, I was asking him about some of his pupils. Well, he said, I'll tell you this, the most illustrious and the most distinguished pupils, brightest pupils I ever had was Bob La Follette and his wife.
Mm.
He said they were both of them very smart, and he said I've been very proud of them. And he was governor, and he had two sons, and one was governor, and the other one was a senator. Very smart family. And my grandfather had both Mr. and Mrs. La Follette in his law courses.
Mm.
And he was very proud of them. He said it was his most illustrious pupils he ever had.
Did you know them at all, the La Follettes?
Yes, I knew them. I knew the boys.
Can you tell me anything about either one of the boys?
No, they were younger than me. And, I knew Phil. I knew Phil's wife. Phil was the younger boy. I didn't know the other one. And then they had two other children, two girls. They had Fola. Fola La Follette was a girl, and she was the first one. And I don't know, I never knew her at all. And I don't know, I've forgotten who she married, but she was a good speaker. I don't know whether what she did, but she, I remember being a very good speaker. And then the baby, the youngest one, I think she was, she never did anything. She was a baby. And the boys were prominent, but this last child never did anything. She married a reporter, and I never heard anything about her. But when she was younger, she had a little pony and a little pony cart. When her father was governor, and they left their home over in Maple Bluff. They had a nice place over in Maple Bluff, and almost a farm. They had a great big place. And when he became governor, he left that place and came in town and lived in the governor's mansion.
Hmm.
And not the one now, but the one before the one. They got one out in Maple Bluff now that's new. But the old one was on Pinckney Street?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's where he was. And that's where this youngest girl was, just a young girl, probably 10 or 12. And she had a little pony cart and pony. And I remember that.
Hmm.
But the boys, I don't know, but the boys were, they were smart too, just like their parents.
Did you know Mildred Fish at all, is that?
Who?
Mildred Fish? No relation to the professor. The name Mildred Fish, a student.
Mildred?
Mildred Fish, a little after your time. I just thought you might know, have heard of her.
Professor Fish,
right? Yeah, no, it's no relation to Fish. I'm just fishing, if you'll pardon the pun.
Professor O'Shea.
Yeah, you told me about her, their children.
Their children, throwing a bun at a guest.
Not well behaved.
And they never said the thing, they just smiled. They didn't bawl the children out, you know. He didn't believe in ever correcting them or ever bawling them out. He just smiled, and the guests smiled back.
Didn't any guests ever swat the kid?
Oh, and those two boys, they did all kinds of things. They'd stand, get underneath a horse. The horse would be standing in front of the house, and this younger boy, he just get smart, you know. And he'd run and he'd stand right underneath him. Imagine doing all kinds of crazy things.
Why? Why would anyone want to stand underneath a horse?
Well, he just thought it was cute.
Well,
they never said no to him.
Yeah.
That was Harriet, the oldest one. She was a teacher at the University of Illinois after she graduated here. And I think she went on with her father's theories. But she was, everybody liked Harriet. She was a good teacher too, I guess. I don't know whether she's still alive or not.
But not many people liked the kids.
She never married. She was a teacher, I think, at Illinois. Oh, we had some funny ones.
Well, I think we have, I think I have all the information I really need. I just wanted to finish up on some of these names. And right. I think we've done that. And so I want to, on behalf of the UW Oral History Project, thank you, Ms. Parkinson, for permitting us to come into your house and conduct these interviews.
Well, you certainly don't need to thank me. I just thank you for doing all this.
Just one final question as we run out of tape here. Do you want to reflect back on your years at UW? Did you enjoy your years at UW?
Oh, yes, sure I did. It was, I had to work awfully hard because I'm not brilliant, you know. And I was carrying too much. I was carrying too much music and I didn't have enough time to study and prepare for it because I was going out too much. But I had a wonderful time.
And I think,
probably didn't get all the education that I should have had, but I certainly